Okay, hi everybody, and welcome to our continuing commentary on externalization of the hierarchy. This is program number 68, and DK has been warning us here about the possible pending religious war. Well, it seems that we are so much involved these days, the year 2020, with assaults against democracy, and with the COVID-19 pandemic that perhaps we're not thinking in terms of the danger of religious passions, which are dogmatic and which can be released upon humanity in a way that would bring about what DK tells us, you know, even the destruction of humanity. Let me get myself a little bit. Yeah. You can see, therefore, how critical spiritually are these times and how urgent is the task. How urgent is the task which confronts the hierarchy and its workers on earth? The war may be over, the Great War, you know, 1914 to 1945, in the physical sense, but great issues are still involved and undetermined and can lead either to peace or to a renewal of those conditions in which wars are generated and which, once generated, cannot be avoided. So even though this was written some 74 years ago, maybe there has not been sufficient improvement in the area of human relations and international relations where we can no longer consider the problem he discusses here as critical. It still is critical. It is with all these foregoing factors in mind that we approach the next two great festivals, the Wesak Festival and Christ's unique occasion. Well, you know, what is that? Festival Goodwill, and this is the festival of the Christ and festival of humanity. And Asala and Christ's unique occasion. Okay. One, I suppose. One point I must make here, and I make it with great joy. This year, 1946, marks the beginning of a cycle in which humanity is more closely involved in the festivals than ever before, and in which they can take a much more important part than ever before. So, you know, from a historical point of view, that's really something to be aware of. The Wesak festival has long been kept in many countries, and as time goes on, the instruction of the masses and the instruction of the masses proceeds. The meeting held at the time of the May full moon, and there we are definitely dealing tropically, will assume great importance, but its keynote will be changed. And that maybe is the important factor here, signaling that the Buddha may have less to do with it than heretofore, if anything. So, what this new keynote will be has not yet been announced and will not be for 35 years. I'm beginning to understand Mary Bailey's move in 1981 to take a greater responsibility regarding this new keynote. As I earlier pointed out, its significance and that of Good Friday belong to the past, and their usefulness is nearly finished. So anyway, we have the whole idea of a changing keynote for the Wesak Festival. Now, have we been able to determine what that is at this time? Still, almost 40 years later. The significance of the Wesak Festival and that of Good Friday really belong to the past, and their usefulness is nearly finished. Now, does that mean the usefulness of both? Because if so, it would mean that there was still some usefulness following 1981. It is the intention of the Buddha and the Christ that in each country there should eventually be someone who will act as their representative at the time of the two festivals, so that the distribution of spiritual energy from the first great aspect or ray will be direct from the Buddha and later Shambhala to the Christ, and then from the Christ to those disciples in every country who can be overshadowed and so act as channels for the direct current of energy. So this goes a little farther in telling us how the keynote will change and how the procedure will change. Let's look at that again. The Wesak Festival significance, the Good Friday significance belong to the past. Their usefulness is nearly finished. Well, would 1981 be the year? It is the intention of the Buddha and the Christ that in each country there should eventually be someone who will act as their representative at the time of the two festivals, and so that the distribution of spiritual energy from the first great aspect, or ray, will be direct from the Buddha in each country. And later, Shambhala, and to the Christ. And from then, to the Christ. And then to the Christ, from the Christ to those disciples in every country who can be overshadowed. So this comes maybe as close as we have seen thus far to explain the changes. Okay. Perhaps perhaps this explanation, goodness me, having trouble with my E, am I not? All right. This explanation goes as far, goes quite far in explaining the changes in the Waysack Festival. So let's see here. So there are two festivals. And one of them is the Good Friday Festival. Okay. One of the festivals is the Good Friday Festival. But anyway, in every country, think of that, one who can directly receive from the Buddha and from the Christ and bring in this first ray energy, eventually from Shambhala. Now, if this includes Good Friday, it will be deeply about sacrifice. Including Waysak, it will be about illumination and the forces of enlightenment. So Shambhala will be involved. And if the sound of this keyboard is a little harsh, I'm sorry, but I can't give up the computer yet for the time it would take to repair it. The same procedure, this is the interesting thing. It's a change of procedure due to representation. To whom? Who are the representatives? That's the question. The same procedure will be followed at the time of the full moon of June, except that Shambhala will not be so involved, and with the difference that at the May festival, it will be a first ray disciple who will be overshadowed, and at the June festival, a second ray disciple will represent the Christ in every land. This is powerful, and I don't recall being sufficiently aware of this method. This can mean either the soul or personality ray of the disciple. This is really important. Somehow one was looking for the method by which the annual visit of the Buddha to the Waysack Valley would be altered or changed, and yet in a very constructive way. And it looks like Good Friday also has, in every country, its representative, as well as, it's an entirely new procedure, as well as the Christ for the Christ Festival. I think this key phrase in every country tells us something about the necessity for deeply receptive, prepared disciples. Really, I think the word disciple is used, but maybe disciple of the Christ, maybe we have to, I would think, be speaking of representatives that are initiates. And here again, in each country, to make that a bigger presence. And the word eventually is there. And in each country tells us how many individuals will be involved, and maybe he means the, who knows, the major countries or major areas, and at least in terms of their development. Someone who will act as their representative at the time of the two festivals, so that there will be a direct distribution of the first ray aspect. He did tell us that Good Friday, having so much to do with death, is in fact a first ray experience, a first ray festival. So I'm very happy to see this more clearly. And all of this comes from close study and literally reading everything the Tibetan has written, or at least given. Some things cannot yet be read, perhaps, but we get the idea. Okay. Now, this kind of development, that in every land there be the appropriate initiate or disciple-initiate, was scheduled, it looks like, for rather rapid organization. It has not been possible, says the Tibetan, to organize this development this year. But next year, a beginning can be made, even if only three or four countries can work under this inspiration. So this explains how it will be done. And it alerts me to the fact that maybe this section of the externalization of the hierarchy has not been sufficiently read and assimilated. For me, after 50 years with these books or more, 50 years, it's the first time that I'm really taking it in. The effect of this development will be far-reaching, though not immediately apparent to the onlooker. This year, 1946, at the great festival in the Himalayas, at which the Buddha will appear as usual, he has let it be known that his main duty is to bring the spiritual inflow of the threefold energy which the invocation invokes and will continue to invoke for many decades. So this has to do with the continued use of the Great Invocation. The Buddha has let it be known, probably to the Christ and from the Christ to the hierarchy, that his main duty is to bring the initial flow of the threefold energy which the invocation invokes and will continue to invoke for many decades. Now, he's being sufficiently vague, so we don't know how many, but 3 decades is not many. So obviously this would continue beyond 1981. From the mind of God, the light will flow through him to the waiting world of men, that human center whose eternal mission is to bring light to all created lives. From the heart of God, he will bring to the hierarchy via the Christ that deep, unending inflow of love which will make it possible for hierarchy to perform its hard task and externalize itself. It is not possible for human beings to realize the sacrifice and the hardship which this emergence will entail, and only a vast inflow of divine love can make it possible. That is the externalization. Now, this is the Buddha's intention in 1946, and it will continue, did continue, as usual. Maybe some of us were not yet born in this incarnation or were very young. An effort will also be made to relate Shambhala, the center where the will of God is known, directly to the new group of world servers via those ashrams which are working along the lines of outer practical goodwill, the will to good, as it is transformed into goodwill. The reception of this energizing will to good should produce a definite stepping up or increase of goodwill and enable the goodwill movement to proceed with greater momentum, irresistibility, non-stoppability, ongoingness, continuation, enable the goodwill movement to proceed with greater momentum this coming autumn and winter, 1946. It will take the entire summer for the needed assimilation by those engineering this movement all over the world. Okay, so it's certainly going to be possible for increased light to occur and a great flow of love to occur, 1946, and as well to bring Shambhala into the picture via the goodwill movement. It's the transformation of the will to good into goodwill. So these are very specific movements and months in which these movements or processes occur. Very practical from that respect. And we see how hierarchy thinks and how it plans. Very down to earth in a way. The absorption of the love which flows from the heart of God to the hierarchy will necessarily have widespread effects. And this is what the Buddha is doing, or did at that time. However, one of the most immediate will affect the triangles and increase the potency of the network of light and goodwill already in existence. So we see how progress is made through specific acts, specific intentions carried forward by the Buddha representing Shambhala into the hierarchy. And there's no reason to think that even though we're in a period of assimilation when the third series of bridging treatises awaits, and no bridging treatises are being written at this time, that much is being done behind the scenes. You can see, therefore, from all the above, how much closer the Buddha is coming this year to humanity. He finds it possible to permit human beings to know his specific objective. This has never before been the case. It is the result of the war and the efforts of the hierarchy to bring out in the human being, certain ennobling qualities, arhat, nobility, spiritual nobility. Certain ennobling qualities and spiritual reactions which the stress of war could evoke. This year will mark a unique and peculiar opportunity based on the fact that there has not yet been time for people to slip back to the old ways of thinking or for the setting up of reactionary structures. Of course, they were then later set up, and we're dealing with them now. The presence, as D.K. warned, of selfish groups much more powerful than selfish individuals. So the Buddha came closer then. He, so to speak, struck while the iron was hot and humanity could not yet relapse into old and inferior, dangerous approaches. This is what he releases at that festival into humanity, into the hierarchy, and also releasing some measure of the will into the new group of world servers, and of course into the ashrams with which they may be affiliated. Now, this may not be the case, he says, next year, 1947, I guess, and therefore it would be wise to take full advantage as possible of the coming festivals. Those who have faith and vision are asked to link up imaginatively, because anything else would scarcely be possible, with the Buddha, and then offer themselves as channels for the spiritual potencies which he will bring. Well, you know, we tried to do that even now, and perhaps that representative of the Buddha at Waisak and of the Christ at Good Friday may be in our country, but perhaps unbeknownst to us, then not really detectable, but we can imagine there is a representative. And that representative is receiving a direct inflow of energy. And we can at least imaginatively link up with that representative, even though we don't have the specifics. The festival in June, which is so uniquely Christ's, and we're heading into that even right now as I speak, in the year 2020, when so much seems to be going awry, and which emphasizes his relationship to humanity, in reality covers three whole days, each with a different keynote. And some of you, well, that's right. I don't know what time I'm speaking of. The year could be 2030 right now, and you might be somehow listening to this or thinking about this. But over the past 3 days, I have presented the keynotes of love, resurrection, and contact. So just in a way to repeat, the keynote of love in the hierarchical sense, free from sentiment, emotion, and personal emphasis, a love that sacrifices and understands, that acts with strength and decision, and that works on behalf of the whole and not in the interests of any group or individual. This is so, you know, very clear, is it not? It's different from love as we usually experience it, which has a strong emotional and personal sentimental element. It's not about liking and disliking that distinguishes sentiment. It's about something very different. And is not dependent upon attractive qualities or unattractive qualities. It's dependent upon unity and being. And then the keynote of resurrection, emphasizing the new note of livingness, which of the living Christ and of that life more abundantly, you know, coming through Aquarius, which the war has made possible by forcing a return to real values. When we have been deprived of the objects of our artificial desires, we return perhaps to something much better, much simpler, having more to do with the Christ as he really is, and as he wishes us to be, to develop the mind as it is in Christ, and I would assume as well the heart as it is in Christ. And finally, the keynote of contact, of a closer relation between Christ and his people, between hierarchy and humanity. So at that time, these keynotes were offered, discussed, and we are still working with them today. So we learned something about the festival of the Christ. It covers three whole days. And those days, as far as I've been able to tell, immediately precede the full moon. And we've been trying to work in that way. The word keynote has been deliberately chosen and signifies the sound which preceded each major inflow at the May Festival. These energies will be released at a solemn ceremony on each of the 3 days. At each ceremony, the Christ will say the new invocation alone, and then the united hierarchy will intone the stanza alone, invoking light, love, and the will to good, one on each of the 3 days. Those disciples or initiates who happen to be interested and watching the triangles or the goodwill movement will have them in mind as they say the first and third stanzas. And the new group of world servers will receive some attention when the second stanza is chanted. Now that's important to remember. Disciples and initiates, the first and third stanzas concerning, I suppose, light and will, and then when it has to do with love, then it's the new group of world servers. Okay. So that which was released at the May full moon, and remember how much Taurus has to do with sound, they will be released. Well, they preceded each major inflow at the May full moon, and then they are released at the Christ Festival, his unique occasion. And so every day, I mean, when we have a different part of the invocation, we might call it a verse on light, a verse on love, a verse on will, a verse on humanity's role, or we might call it a stanza. Sometimes the word stanza is used for the entire great invocation. Stanza one being about goodwill, stanza two being about the forces that must bring death to evil, and stanza three, the encapsulation of the entire divine plan in four verses with the final idea. Let light and love and power restore the plan on earth. So when we're doing this, we have to keep it in mind, humanity, and Shambhala, and the world servers, mediated from hierarchy. These are all powerful, esoteric, occult means of assisting behind the scenes. And where else can the average disciple or initiate, probationary initiate, assist except from behind the scenes? We are interior workers by and large. Sometimes a worker in the world is also a conscious, hierarchical worker, but oftentimes, knowledge of their hierarchical affiliation has been relinquished to make it easier for them to work. And so DK has told us that in the future, they will be informed about who they really are, and it will help them work with even greater power. So the modus operandi of celebrating the Festival of the Christ, his unique occasion, is being given to us here. I would call your attention, says the Tibetan, therefore, to the interest shown by the hierarchy in the embryonic efforts in which you are engaged and which I started. So, humility here, nothing full-blown or no claims made. The efforts are, or were, embryonic. I wonder if they can still be considered embryonic. Yes, the Triangle's work has spread all over the world, and the invocation is used all over the world, and as usual, probably much more extensively than we may imagine, even as DK's books are read much more extensively, he tells us, than we may imagine, even by, I would say, even by theosophists who repudiate them. I would point out, says the Tibetan, however, that the attention paid is not exclusive, but that wherever two or three are gathered together in the name of the master of the hierarchy, energy will flow. So, you know, he guards the groups of that time and guards us from thinking that they or we are in some uniquely privileged position and are the object of energy flows of which others are not the object. And that is not true. Wherever two or three are gathered in the name of the Christ, even two, energy will flow. That wherever goodwill is a goal and evokes effort, in no matter what form, and notice it must evoke effort, the energy of the will to good will make itself felt behind the goodwill, I would say, and that the new group of world servers is a far larger group than just the few known to you. Today its number, 1946, is, its numbers are several million. Now that's something that we really want to take into consideration. And now when we've seen the results of the consciousness revolution, it the numbers of servers has to be more than 70 million, or a few, several million, maybe more like 70, I don't know. That's quite a big number. I remember seeing a list, an ongoing list of constructive groups working on behalf of humanity, and it just went on endlessly, it seemed. On and on. So that's a very good sign, pointing to helpful processes of which we cannot possibly be aware, at least we cannot be aware of all of them. We have to identify what they are when they come across our horizon, but there's so much more going on toward the good than we may know. The bad seems to be somewhat dramatically displayed in newspapers and news feeds on the computer and so forth. And there's something about humanity's desire to see what is disruptive and obstructive, some kind of negativity, some kind of depressed attitude, but that will not go on forever. I even saw recently, you know, the whole idea that good news is so very unpopular, but it is heartwarming. And I just saw out of 100 articles, one little section that said good news. So it's a beginning. even though people wish to excite themselves with what is terrible and seem to ignore until they really read it and get into it, what the good news is. The result of this solemn 3 days of invocation will be followed by a climaxing day wherein the hierarchy will unitedly and led by the Christ pronounce the entire invocation. So far they've been pronouncing the particular stanza or the verse of the day, light, love, or power. So the hierarchy will unitedly and led by the Christ pronounce the entire invocation, prefacing each stanza with its appropriate key note and again sounded in unison. Now, will that come in as an om? It sounds like a particular note and which precedes the sounding of a particular verse, or if not verse, then what was that word I was using? Well, it is a verse, stanza and verse. These notes you cannot know, but if, for instance, a very large number of the new group of world servers were brought together, their united om might approximate the appropriate keynote. And that's an occult hint. We're talking about, I believe, a musical note in accordance with which the many voices would adjust themselves until the pitch of the om was the appropriate keynote. It will be apparent to you, therefore, that in the new cycle now beginning with the climaxing of the war and the formation of the United Nations, the festivals of May and June not only become more closely linked, but the procedure has changed and the effect on humanity intensified. Now, this is really important. The festivals are more closely linked. Their procedure has changed. Their effect upon humanity is intensified, and certainly that has persisted over these 74 years to this year, 2020. So there is this seeking of real recipients in every land who can receive a direct inflow from the Buddha, from the Christ, eventually from Shambhala. It's taking place behind the scenes, and we don't know who the recipients may be, and you know, if we talk a lot about this, people will start claiming to be the recipients, such as the human tendency towards egoism. I would have all who care to meet together at these festivals to try and do so subjectively, wherever they may find themselves, and to participate intelligently in the ordained ceremonies. Well, I would say that, you know, with limitations, we are trying to do that. You know, the last few days have been all about visualizing the processes of which the Tibetan is speaking, the ceremonial processes of which he is speaking. I would ask all to think imaginatively and to act as if they were accepted disciples, or at least on the periphery of some ashram. I am asking you to take part in these two ceremonies with a full play of the imagination. These ceremonies will later be externalized at some center in every country. And just imagine that. So I think sincere disciples have been attempting to do this for some many, many years, since 1946, when this came out, to act as if we were accepted disciples, or at least on the periphery of some ashram. I mean, maybe the two things are not the same. You can be perhaps on the periphery of some ashram and not be an accepted disciple, but at the same time, if you are an accepted disciple, maybe you have stepped within that periphery. So here, immediately before us, matter of fact, tomorrow, is the full moon celebrating the festival of the Christ, his unique occasion, festival of humanity, festival of goodwill, the Asala festival, all these different names. A trained nucleus and a devoted band of believers is in process of being gathered together, though only as yet in the consciousness of the hierarchy. And though at the present time there will be no outer ceremonies or any knowledge as to who will be chosen in the various lands to represent the hierarchy, indeed and in truth, the first steps towards human participation is being made this year. So this is the way that humanity can and will help to externalize these ceremonies. And I would imagine that the full moon day itself is very important. It's come to be known really as World Invocation Day. And it's mostly on the day of the full moon. We, because of the globe and its 24-hour span, it's hard to get that to be entirely regular, but for most, it's going to be on the day of the full moon that the great invocation is repeatedly and regularly sounded. Well, these are very encouraging words. And the gathering is occurring. The hierarchy knows who it is gathering. But there will be ceremonies in every country. And who will be chosen to represent the hierarchy? This is not yet for public consumption. Maybe at some point in the third installment, if it is necessary, there will be the imparting of where at least these ceremonies can take place, even if individuals are not mentioned. So, okay. The first step towards human participation. The knowledge of this will give purpose and fixed intention to all of you who have for years kept these festivals. In truth, I bring you the invitation of the hierarchy to share in their ancient work and not, as in the past, to play the part of interested onlookers. In fact, via the imagination, we can participate. And when the entire hierarchy sounds the great invocation, either by verse or its entirety, perhaps we can visualize ourselves and others in the new group of world servers behind the hierarchy sounding as well. I would warn you that if you do succeed in any measure of participation, it will be necessary to guard yourselves from overstimulation and to take steps wisely to use on behalf of the energy, or on behalf of humanity, the energy with which you may be charged. A warning about a good thing, as long as it is not misused, the inflow of energy, a good process, a good thing. The knowledge will be particularly useful to those who are occupied with any of the groups and organizations which are responsive to hierarchical interests. True participation may lead to the sudden conviction of reality, of the reality of that which I have told you. Faith and belief and common sense will then no longer be needed, and you will know. Okay. This is most encouraging, and something I believe that should be read and assimilated by all. Well, we're just about to the point where if I want to keep this program at an hour, I can do so, because there's more coming. But maybe I will move on ahead and take it up to the next big division. I have here told you the things which the Christ has planned for the immediate future. I have, you know, the revelation that is coming, the reorganization of the world religions, aiding in the gradual fading out of obsolete religions and religious approaches, the stimulation of hierarchy in sight of Shambhala, and the stimulation of humanity as hierarchy draws closer to humanity. So I've told you also some of the things which he and the masters must do as preparatory steps to the new world, which can and will supersede the old unhappy world which lies immediately behind us. I have chosen to speak to you of these activities in which it is now possible for you to share. So that's a very joyful prospect, to not be onlookers so much, but actually to share, even if through the imagination. With the exception of those which affect the relation between Shambhala and hierarchy, well, we can't share in those, but we can share in the hierarchical process to sensitize and uplift humanity. However, those who are initiates of the third degree, and there are quite a few working on the earth among men at this time, can share in all of them. So, you know, shambolic stimulation of hierarchy and adjustments within hierarchy can be entered or shared by initiates of the third degree. After all, the monad gets into play at that time, and initiates of the third degree are not just initiates of the threshold, they are actually members of the hierarchy. So that's something that we should keep in mind as we attempt to become or work towards becoming an initiate of the third degree, however many incarnations it may take. And these days, the pressure is so acute that it may take fewer incarnations to reach that point once one becomes aware of the possibilities. This is, says the Tibetan, an intensely practical message and calls for your renewed pledge. Pledges can always be renewed. It's not something you just make once. To serve humanity and to find your way into an ashram where that service may be directed. So ashramic approach, that's what it's all about. To stimulate us towards ashramic approach, it calls for sacrifice until it hurts. And where it touches you the most. That may not be an appreciated statement by the normally personality-centered aspirant. It calls for a joyous sense of unity with that station of power and light, which we call the hierarchy, and which stands ready as never before to share with humanity that power and that light to the limit of human capacity to use it. The great invocation is called a mantra of light and power. It's strange that the word, word of power, you know, it's strange that the love energy is not part of that description, but we know it is certainly part of the invocation. So I'm sure we can sense the intense practicality of this message and find it as something that must be pondered upon. The sacrifice, of course, the very first law of the soul. This is necessary for any type of real progress and requires pondering. Each must ponder. What is it about sacrifice that will hurt? What type of sacrifice will hurt? Pain is involved here. And what type of sacrifice touches us the most so we do not somehow evade the issue and offer quite a bit less than that which hurts and that which touches us the most. This is up to every individual. And maybe then up to groups of truly unified individuals. So I beg you, there's the words again. He really implores us. It's not a casual request. It's a most earnest request. I beg you, in closing, to aid in the two matters which are of importance to him, whom all disciples and initiates and spiritual men have loved and followed for nearly 3,000 years, the Christ. I am referring here to his appearance as Sri Krishna and as one other who was little known but who did great work in still earlier centuries. Now, is that the Maitreyi that is found in the Upanishads? The Upanishads predating the time of Sri Krishna. Now, a little bit of the chronology here has to be looked at because Krishna, he was there at the great battle of Kurukshetra. But in terms of maybe taking the fourth initiation, it was at the beginning of the Kali Yuga, some 5,000 years before now, so 3000 BC, 3001 or 2 BC. So why is the figure 3,000 years used, suggesting that we're talking about 1,000 years before the coming of the Christ? This has to remain a little bit enigmatic because the great Sri Krishna did very influential work at his appearance, and that if that most significant death, I believe by arrows, is chronicled, it seems to have occurred 5,000 years ago, roughly, at the time of the onset of one of the ways of measuring the beginning periods of the yugas. But anyway, that's just something that I'm pondering, and maybe you will too. And the other one who is little known, the only other name I know is Maitreyi. And the Maitreya Buddha, of course, is the Christ. And maybe before he appeared in the Middle East in olden times, his work was in the Far East as Maitreya Buddha. But DK says he was at work in still earlier centuries. So, you know, loving kindness was his keynote. And maybe even in those earlier centuries, earlier than Krishna, he was known as for his loving kindness. I remember reading in some of the Upanishads, and this figure called Maitreyi emerges. Now, was it a man or a woman? I think I get the impression that it was a woman, but I cannot be sure. So, you know, this is a series of the Tibetan imploring us to do our duty. I beg you to shoulder the responsibility of distributing the invocation on as large a scale as possible in every country. Well, even that has been done, but who knows whether it has been on as large a scale as possible. Almost every country, maybe every country, has the great invocation. But more can be done, of course, because it is the great word of power which helps us think of the Christ in the right way and prepare for his reappearance. This invocation, it is of great potency, and when used by men of all faiths, can aid in the process of averting war. Well, you know, he's warned us about this. the necessity to avert war, especially a religious war, which would be a type of war that could be most dangerous to humanity. I ask you also to make possible the wide distribution of the book, The Problems of Humanity, which I've written. Apparently this was written before 1946 date that on which this particular article was written, The Problems of Humanity. And it's been revised, and I think it was a member of the headquarters group in London who, you know, tried to bring it somewhat up to date with the addition of problems that maybe were not so pressing at the time the Tibetan wrote, but which are deeply pressing now. For instance, the ecological problem. So to distribute the problems of humanity, for they strengthen the hands of those who are already seeking to deal with these problems, and they bring the need to the attention of the unawakened. This will require sacrifice, for it calls for the expenditure of money. Even the hierarchy works through normal channels and needs money, and even the Christ has need of financial resources in order to reach the needy sons of men. So I ask your aid, and I await your decision. Now, those who are reading in Dina 2 about the meditation for money will recognize some of these words. Sometimes what he wrote appears in more than one book, and this is one of those cases. And then comes a great exhortation, a prayer, an inspiring sounding, that he whom we serve may be nearer to all of us than ever before, that the work of establishing right human relations may proceed apace, and that light and love may stream forth from Shambhala, you know, and the hierarchy, over all of you who love your fellow men, is the earnest wish, accompanied by my blessing for you at this season of the will to good. And of course, the Festival of Goodwill naturally encourages the flow of the will to good behind it. So that's as far as I will go to, in this one. You know, they're all done in chronological order, so we are still before August 1946, which gives us the next letter or the next article. What an eventful year, this 1946, and how much is revealed about the opportunity to cooperate with the Buddha and, of course, with the Christ. So we're on page 558, and I'll go back here to page 552, 53, and to 558. So I'll copy this and put it in a place that will help orient myself when next I have the opportunity to read here. We're making progress a little at a time. And this was the end of program 68. And it's approximately an hour and 15 minutes. And 5:53 to 5:58. And our day is just before the June full moon in this year, June the 4th, and we'll begin with number 69 when we can. We don't know how long it will be, and we'll begin with 5:58, whether it's today or shortly to come, and we'll be discussing the mode of approach. These are very practical matters, and I would certainly recommend a deep study of the work covered in this last program. So, friends, that's going to be it for just this very moment, and I wish you much love and many blessings and progress on the spiritual path, anent which, you know that word anent which we have been so expertly instructed by the master teacher, Master DK. So that will be it, and I'll return with program 69. We have less than 200 pages to go in the book now. About maybe 140 pages, of maybe a bit more when we talk about the text that we're using, but in fact, about 140 pages in the book itself. And then I'll have to go back to the beginning because I left out a few essays there. So, see you soon.